Yeah. What an unbelievable payoff to an unbelievable couple of weeks of baseball that usually you got to go through 6 months of some kind of cool stuff, but a lot of stuff that's just like, oh boy, okay, another game. They played the Reds again for the seventh time. Who cares, right?
I think the Dodgers play the Diamondbacks 38 times a year up until this season.
So funny you say that. Do you know who the Dodgers play 8 times in their first 10 games?
I'm going to go with the Diamondbacks.
The Diamondbacks. Their first 10 games of the season, 8 of them are against Arizona.
Do you know Arizona probably, every time they're like, really? We got to face 60% of their wins are against the Diamondbacks.
They play the Diamondbacks 8 times and the Rockies twice in the first 10 games. Go figure. So that's how it opens. But so we get this WBC tournament, and it lives up to the hype. You have the very best players from the respective countries. The best Japanese players are playing. The best Dominican players. Puerto Rican
unbelievable
players,
couple Mexican weeks. Players. That was just awesome.
And you had like 7 or 8 games that were legitimately exciting and fun and nerve-wracking. And then last night's wasn't that. It was well played. It was close. It was tense. But you couldn't write a movie that would be better than Shohei Ohtani coming out of the pen to face Mike Trout in the bottom of the ninth inning, or the top of the ninth inning, the top of the ninth inning with the entire tournament on the line, and it blows him away. And as an American baseball fan, as a huge Mike Trout fan, I was super into it. Like, even when Ohtani dusted him, I'm like,
I'm with you.
That was amazing.
I'm with you. Now, maybe that doesn't mean we get to celebrate 4th of July this year, but
turning your hot dogs.
I'm with you with it. A couple things stood out to me yesterday, and I think this is, you just get accustomed when you're watching sports, you get accustomed to seeing the same thing. And you get accustomed to, there's not really too many surprises. Somebody can have a great performance, but there aren't really too many surprises of what you're watching.
Sure.
I was watching Ohtani go from the bullpen and go into the dugout. Why? Because he was going to come up in the order at some point. And then he was going back to the bullpen because he was going to go close the game, which I think you mentioned he had not come out of the bullpen
once
since 2016, and that was in Japan.
One time.
Okay. One time. So right out the gate, I'm watching this. I'm like, yeah, I think I've seen this before in high school. I think I've seen this before in at levels that are so maybe... Exactly. Yeah, you're going to be the goalie right now, and then we also need you to play forward. Like, right. You're going to whatever position
you're
it is.
You're the quarterback on offense, you're the middle linebacker.
And you're the safety
on defense.
Yes. Okay? That's what you watch these things for. But no, this is Ohtani doing it, representing Japan. And we already kind of know that, all right, we've got a couple years now, got a chance to see Ohtani. We know what he does in Major League Baseball. But what we haven't seen is this back and forth, which is just kind of comical in itself. And then it comes down to the ninth, like you're saying, and it is one of the coolest things to see. One of the coolest things just to see those two players because they're teammates, because Ohtani is not, it's not like I could go to the regular season and say, hey, remember that one time Ohtani pitched against Trout? No, they're both Angels. So to have that, and it's two outs, and it's a one-run game, literally, you said it, it's a movie script. It's, okay, put together script. I know no one's going to believe us, but what do we want it to look like at the end? That's what you're writing.
And the part with Ohtani that is so engaging and so enthralling and so much fun to watch is we didn't know how he would perform in that moment. We guess. We know he's awesome. You know he's a great hitter. You know he's a great pitcher. You know that he's an incredible athlete. But until two nights ago, Ohtani had never been in the center of the fire, which is, hey, listen, we're behind. It's the last inning of this game. We need you to get a big hit. He did. He smokes a double to right center field and starts the rally that ultimately ends up winning the game. That when they absolutely had to have it, he gave it to him. Fast forward one night later, the exact same scenario, only now he's on the mound. Hey, listen, the best hitter of his generation is coming up. You've never faced him. He's never faced you. You guys are teammates. Your entire country is putting this in your right hand. Go get him out. And he did. And he struck him out. For Emily, put those numbers back on the screen for me.
It was 24 of like 6,000.
He's had a 3 swings and misses in a plate appearance 24 times in over 6,000 plate appearances. It's 0.004% of the time. Okay? And that's what he did. With the entire world watching, with his entire country praying, hoping,
sure,
you know, everything that you can try
the
to do.
The numbers of the amount of households.
And he delivered. Hmm. And he delivered a pregame speech where he told the guys, don't admire those guys today. Not today. We can admire them later. Today we're going to go beat them. Today we're going to go kick their ass. I don't think he said it like that, but that's what he was saying. Don't worry about – yeah, I know. I know that's Mookie Betts. I know that's Mike Trout. I know that's Goldschmidt. I know that's Arenado and Schwarber and Trey Turner. I know. Not today. I'm here. We got this. You're here. We got this. It's leadership. It's performance. It's pressure. It's everything we hadn't seen him in before, and he aced the test the very first time he took it. It was extraordinary.
I know we've kind of been hoping for this the last couple of years. There's a big reason why most people don't think Ohtani's going to be on the Angels by the time next season's, or by the time either the trade deadline or by the time next season is all said and done. But man, I'm rooting for it. I want nothing more than this upcoming season to see the Angels in a race in that division. I'm with you. I mean, it's so, well, we just, this last couple of weeks actually really, really good for baseball. Just really, really good for baseball. You don't have to be cheering for a specific country. It's just good for baseball because you see these players who actually care what's going on. The countries are all involved, and they, at least their fan bases are incredible. But it's not pressure on the Angels, because I don't think that's the right way to put it. It's important for baseball to have players like this on the center in the center stage. It's not that different than the NBA of wanting Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, Kevin Durant, LeBron James. It's actually the most important thing.
How many times during the game last night, during the semifinal game, the quarterfinal game, during pool play, did you hear John Smoltz and Joe Davis and Kenny Albert and all the other guys that were calling these games? They must have said it felt like 10 times last night. Well, we've never seen Ohtani and Trout in a moment like this before. How much fun would it be to see these guys in the yes, obviously. Trout's going to be there for a long time, I think. I mean, his contract is, I don't think he's going to have to go. Ohtani is very likely to leave. Spotrac, for those that don't know, they have everybody's contract. It's this incredible website. If you're a sports fan, you need to know Spotrac. It tells you earnings, bonus, contract terms. You know exactly when guys are getting free and everything else. And they're pretty
good. Credit card
debt. Credit card, their FICO score. They're really good at kind of predicting what the market is going to bear for players, right? Mm. Here's what they have as the projections for Ohtani when he comes to free agency at the end of this year. Keep in mind, Ohtani will turn 29 in the middle of the season, so he's still a young player. They think that the market value of Ohtani right now as a pitcher exclusively.
Okay,
just as a pitcher. If he were just Justin Verlander, right?
Yep.
8 years, 230.
Okay.
They think his value as a hitter is 10 years, 333. Okay, I'm not an economist. I'm not a mathematician. But my math means that this is about a 10-year deal that's going to come in at about $550 million. Okay, because this is what he is. He is Verlander and he is Aaron Judge. He's both of these guys in one player. So he should get paid the salaries of both of those guys. It makes perfect sense to me. The Dodgers have done nothing this offseason. They've been very quiet. They've let some of their players leave. Some expensive players like Trey Turner. They've not been active in free agency. They've not been particularly active in the trade market. We know that they will spend money when they believe there is value in that money. And I don't know if there's anything more valuable than this guy. And when you stop and say, hold on a second, you're going to pay a guy $55 million a year for 10 years potentially? And I think it's actually a good deal. Like that's what's so – he's proven he can perform at the biggest stage.
Yep.
He's proven that he's a terrific player. He's a leader. He's box office. People are going to come and see him. What's – other than you cross your fingers and hope that nothing happens to him, tell me why that's not a good investment.
Got to be honest, I don't think the numbers are going to dictate anything. I think that $55 million a year for Shohei Ohtani, the big markets are going to say, cool. Like, I don't think there's going to be this, well, we got out of it because they went 55 and we wanted 50. You see what I'm saying? I think the preference of what Ohtani wants, maybe what franchise he believes in the most that's going to put out a winning product every single day or every single year, I think that's going to be the difference. Because what you just said about if you combine the 8 years, the 10 years, you take this, you take that. By the way, I don't know. I don't know, because we don't really have any examples on this. In 5 years, is he still doing both?
Probably not. Okay, but maybe.
And I have no idea, so I'm not gonna try to assume this. But
or he's still doing both, just at a lower level.
He is. We talked about this a little bit earlier. I don't think you can put a dollar sign on him. LeBron, when he was 25 years old, when he was 28 years old, could you put a dollar sign on him?
No, but it's a little different because mm-hmm. there's only so much you could pay LeBron under the rules. There is no limit to what you can pay Otani.
But that's my point. My point is that if Bron was not in a league that caps you, this is the most you're going to make the same amount of money as Bradley Beal or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Like, because they're just, these are max dollars.
I get it.
There's certain players I just don't think you can equate a dollar to, and I think Otani is in that category where you give him 55 a year, there's going to be three or four teams saying, pick us.
I agree with that, but I think there may be a team or two that if the rate is 55,
mm-hmm.
Peter Seidlitz say, I'll give you 70. Like, I'm not messing around. I'm not going to let you make a decision that's based entirely on I'd rather be over here than over there.
Well, because he'll probably lose if it comes down to that or that.
If it comes down to culture, if it comes down to track record, if it comes down to just, hey, we're all offering 55, and it's just, I think I'd rather be over here. They're probably not going to win that war. The Mets are probably not going to win that battle. The Dodgers might. The Yankees might. The Braves might. These teams that, you know, are in the mix frequently. But in baseball, Peter Seidler, Steve Cohen will give you 70. If the price that you think you're going to land that is 50, we'll give you 70.
Well, now, Dodgers better be right behind them saying we'll give you 70.
And that's where it gets nuts because uh-huh. they might do that. They might go into that point. And now you're talking about – because as transcendent as he is, there is a point where you go, I can't do that
mm-hmm.
because there is injury. There is decline in production. There is all of these things that all of a sudden, let's say he, knocking on wood, let's say he has an arm injury and I can't pitch anymore. I can still hit you 50 home runs. Well, I'm paying $70 million for a guy that's going to hit me 50 home runs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice, but it's a $70 million for one guy. It's there is a number where you tap the mat. I just don't know where it is, mm-hmm. and I don't know if the other guys, because the Dodgers would give him a chance to win. The Dodgers can offer him basically the same life he has right now, just mm-hmm. on a much better team, right? You don't even have to move. I don't know where he lives, but I'm assuming, let's say it's somewhere down in Orange County. You can get up to – Freddie Freeman lives down there. Mike Socia lived in Westlake and drove to Anaheim every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I make a drive from Laguna Niguel up to downtown L.A. every day. You can do it. And I would imagine he could do it in style and luxury and everything. So I can just stay exactly where I am. My family, my friends don't have to do anything different. I just have to go put on a different uniform. It's a pretty appealing pitch. And, oh, by the way, you know they're going to be good every year.
Yeah, that's why I come down. It's almost, I think the money part, I don't think is going to tell the whole story. I think it's going to come down to, where does he want to play? What players are there?
You really don't think that one of those crazy billionaires is just going to blow the top off of the market?
Let me give you an example. Let's say the Padres offered him, let's say Steve Cohen offers him and the Mets $70 million a year, and the Dodgers are stopped at 60. Can't go over that. 60 is where we're going to stop. Where do you want to play? I think that's going to be the determining factor.
But
where do you want to play?
Okay. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just putting this out there.
Yeah.
Under that scenario,
mm-hmm.
that's $100 million difference. Because if we're doing 10 years, it's $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I can hear my dad right now. If my dad goes, what difference is it? It's $100 million he's never going to get to spend anyway. And I understand that argument.
Yeah.
I also understand the argument. It's $100 million more.
Mm-hmm.
$100 million. Give it away. Build a school. Change the world. Do whatever you want. I'm not saying you got to buy a new yacht or cars or houses. It's $100 million.
I guess the point is if he wants to be a Dodger, he'll find a way to be a Dodger. If he wants to be a Met, he'll find a way to be a Met. If he wants to be a Giant, he'll find a way to be a San Francisco Giant.
If you don't like the WBC, here's my counterargument. The only thing I got out of this
that was the first pitch to
WBC.
Mookie.
That's so exciting. It was so great. And I'm trying to think, like, had I'm trying to think. Sandy Alcantara, right?
Yeah.
He's pitching the championship game and strikes out Mike Trout at the end of the game. You're like, damn, We had it. We get Mike Trout up. Otani does it. You're like, that was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
That was awesome.
It helps that he plays in MLB now too. So I think if it was Otani in
Alcantara, I mean, if it, pick another guy. Say it's Julio Urias pitching for Mexico, right? Like, you'd be like, oh, I can't believe we had a chance. I would like that because he's a Dodger.
Yeah, but when Darvish gave up the solo, I'm like, really? Yes, yeah, so I'm like the same thing with you. You're still rooting for your.
If Darvish struck out Trout to end the game, I'm like, God, I can't. Yeah. Otani, you're like, that was awesome. You're like Chris Farley. Hey, Paul McCartney, remember when you were in the Beatles? That was awesome. That's what I was doing last night. All right, USA needs
next
to send
level.
Some better
next
pitchers
freaking
as
level.
Well, for sure. Lakers. Tonight's a pretty big night.
Yeah,
we're down to two handfuls of games, and everybody's bunched together. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we did ask Travis earlier on at 10:45 because on Wednesdays we try to like mix it up and do different people.
How did I do, Slee?
Yeah, I think we did pretty well.
Good.
We did all TikTok too. We only took questions from TikTok.
So this one's from Daniel Tapia. It's a little late, asked Travis, but better accomplishment, taking down a 5-pound burrito or 5 of the hottest wings?
Oh, that's easy.
Hashtag ask Trav.
That's easy.
I would need to know the definition, his definition of better. If you're asking me which one I would rather attempt,
maybe I'll say if you want to brag about someone, say I took down a 5-pound burrito, or I took down these five hottest wings.
I know it's harder.
It's the wings.
The wings are harder.
The wings are harder, but also easier, I think, because as awful of an experience as that chicken sandwich thing we did was, it was over in a day. Right?
Was it?
Well,
felt like I was out for like 3 days.
Well, it was a day, except for a couple of times a day for the next week. That was that was a little different.
Add that together, it's actually a month.
So that, but it, if you ate a 5-pound burrito, I think you're going to the emergency room. I don't know if you're coming back from that. So I'd pick the wings. I would choose neither. I'm never ever eating something hot like that ever again. That's a one and done. I want you to tell the listeners, Lee, what you told me during the break about the Ohtani Soto thing. I thought that was brilliant.
So Ohtani makes a guy like Juan Soto, who's as, I mean, I think most people, if you said, give me one player in Major League Baseball right now at this age, you know he's going to be a star for
and
so many years.
Super entertaining.
Super entertaining. Already won a World Series. Yeah. Has already delivered on the biggest stage.
He's got swag.
Got swag. He's got everything. He makes Juan Soto seem like just a average baseball player.
Yeah.
And I, the reason why I give that as an example is because yesterday or even the game against Mexico, especially yesterday. Yesterday is actually a better example. We know all these stars. They're freaking stars. On the United States of America put together a team of absolute superstars. And I was like, that's cool. So when's Ohtani in? When's he batting?
Yeah.
When is he? You know, the All-Star game, we had this as well where
DH, and he let off and pitched. Yeah.
And it's like,
and once that happened, you're like, I can turn this off.
I was going to say, when he was done, I was like, well, that was fun. So
no, you're right. It's like, yeah, Mookie's great and all, but he doesn't pitch. And then you watch, you know, Julio Urias pitch. You're like, yeah, that's cool, but he doesn't hit 45 home runs. Like, it makes no sense at all.
I was waiting yesterday. I'm like, if Trey Turner's not going to run back from the bullpen to the dugout, I don't want to see him.
Think about it. Like,
I don't want to see him.
That would happen in high school. It's like, hey, we got bring in the guy with the best arm, bring in the shortstop, and let him throw 90 miles an hour and strike out some zit-faced teenagers, right? This is the best, not just the major leagues. It's the best players in the major leagues. It was terrific.
Speaking of what we were talking about, too, with like, Ohtani getting paid so much for playing, you know, for playing essentially two positions, Steve North Hollywood has kind of a point about it. So I don't know if you guys want to take him
do it.
Right now.
Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up?
Fellas, hey, I'll get to the point. I love Ohtani, man, and the World Baseball Classic was way more fun than I thought it would be. And I'd love to see him in Dodger Blue, man, but I am dubious. I'm very concerned about paying him too much, and here's why. If you're going to have two players that do what Ohtani does, right? You've got one hitter, a first base, whatever, Freddie Freeman, and you got a pitcher.
Yep.
If one of those guys gets hurt, you're only missing one of those guys, okay? So you're paying Ohtani $560 million or something for 10 years, right? If he gets hurt at all, even if he just, you know, has a hamstring pull, he's not pitching or hitting, mm-hmm. and you lose two players. Now, the other side of this is he's going to be 29 in June, I think.
Yep.
We're not talking about Juan Soto, who's 24. I understand the comparison that Slee was just making. Hey, you know, he's way more than Juan Soto. He is. But there are very big risks. And if you're going to put that kind of money into one basket, all your eggs in one basket, man, you have to hope. Because, yeah, he'll put butts in seats. And, yeah, he'll be exciting to watch if he's healthy, if things are going, you know, yep. right. So he has any kind of problem at all, or you want to rest him, and you rest him, and now he's probably not, and maybe you can DH him, I don't know. But yeah. I'm just saying, overall, the risk is really, really high. If some other owner wants to put up a ridiculous offer, the Dodgers can't do it. They just can't. They have to build a complete roster.
I hear you, Steve, and I think you bring up the one thing that is scary,
the hesitation
about doing that, mm-hmm. and you're exactly right that if he goes down, you lose two guys, not one, and you're losing two guys at the price of whatever the number may be, 50 million.
He'll use his left hand.
He might be able to do that, but here's the thing: two or three years ago, he only hit. He had an elbow thing, right, and yeah. he just hit for the Angels. So there are some circumstances where maybe you get half the guy, but generally speaking, you're right. There's huge risk to what the Padres did with Bogarts and Tatis, and what they're probably going to do with Soto and Machado and yeah. all these other.
Yeah.
There's risk involved with everybody,
mm-hmm.
right? That he's maybe slightly more risky because it's the twofer thing that you're talking about. The payoff, in my opinion, is worth it. Could it blow up in your? Of course it could. You know, Mike Trout signed for $438 million or whatever it was, and he's gotten hurt a little more than he has before. His production has slipped a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's still Mike Trout. You have to do it. There are guys that sometimes there's always risk with long-term contracts. There's always risk with high-dollar contracts. But with this guy, I'm doing it. Like, think of the discipline and the preparation that has to go into doing what he's doing. You know he's not going to let himself fall into bad habits. He's an incredibly disciplined athlete.
He won't stop throwing quotes talking about how he wants to win. It's not about just the dollar sign.
I understand what you're saying, Steve. The Dodgers, because that's my team too, right? There's huge risk involved. I would do it. I would spend the money. If I got that $18 Modelo is now a $22 Modelo at Dodger Stadium because he's there.
Oh, they'll do that either way.
I'll pay it. You're right about that. $29 Modelo.
What about parking from 100 to 100?
No, the parking you can't support. You got no choice there.
But here's the problem. Mm-hmm. Dodgers specifically, money goes to Frank McCourt.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I want to vomit on it before I hand it over.
Charge you more for the
rather walk from Montebello.
The fries and the chicken tenders and the hot dogs. Charge me more for that.
Anything but money going to Frank McCourt.
I'll say this, too. I think the Dodgers have been so incredibly responsible. And give them a lot of credit. This offseason's another good example. They were responsible, right? They didn't like the contracts that were being thrown out there. And now they're also in a position where they could very easily not win the division and kind of scratch and claw to get to 90 wins.
Sure.
Okay, that's not, I don't think that's out of the ordinary. But part of me thinks part of that strategy was for this predicament, this situation. Now, it's, I may be wrong. Maybe the Shohei thing, I told you, I don't think it's going to come down to just money for Shohei. I think there's going to be, where do I want to play?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to give me the greatest chance of playing baseball in October and everything else that comes with it? But don't forget, I mean, for the Dodgers, what was the deal that they signed with Time Warner, the Spectrum?
Like $8 billion or something, yeah.
Something along the way. It's not like the Dodgers are, they're also an organization that, every single year, they're going to sell out Dodger Stadium. They're going to have as many fans come to the ballpark as anybody else. Their TV deal is as lucrative as any TV deal that's out there.
TV deals that's going bankrupt either.
They're not with Bally Sports. Right. Okay, so it's they're also playing in a different field than everybody else.
They are. I guess the simple way of saying it, and we got more phone calls. We're going to get to these here in a second. The simplest way to say it is, as a Dodger fan, if next spring or next winter the hot stove heats up, or they trade him somewhere else and he immediately signs an extension to wherever he gets traded, and it's just eye-popping money, which it's going to be, I'm not going to say, you know what, the Dodgers shouldn't have done that. Almost regardless of the number, right?
Yeah.
We're making up numbers here, but if it's $60 million a year, you go, okay, I'm glad the Dodgers didn't do that. I'd be like, I wish they would have done that. That's the sort of talent that he is. Even a deal that may be on its economics deeply irresponsible, I want him to do it anyway. One more quick one here before we take a break. Johnny in the OC. Johnny, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up?
How's it going, guys?
All right.
So I don't agree with that, right, in regards to the last caller. I think, like everybody says, he is a unicorn. You need to spend that money. And what I love about Otani is that he's actually vocal about it, right? You don't want to get into year 7, 8 for him and then finally take him serious. Like Mike Trout, he was more in the shadows. Like, he wasn't really vocal about it. And that kind of, I think, held him back from, I think, winning a championship already, because if he would have been more like Otani, hey, I'm here to win, I need to move somewhere, right? More vocal, probably he would have got more support, right? And Otani's more like, hey, I'm here, I need to win. And I love that about that, because now a team can take him serious. It doesn't matter if he goes to the Yankees, the Dodgers, but at least now you know he's vocal about it, and he's proven it in the biggest stage. He basically beat the All-Star team of MLB, right?
He did. So, and the one from Mexico.
Right. And he just said, he just proved to you, hey, give me the support and the of a team, and I'll get you there. I'll put you on my back.
I'll get you over the top.
So, yes, I think he is worth it.
I do, too. I do, too, Johnny. I think that he's worth it as well. And I want to just kind of talk about something that he mentioned. You know, we'll do it when we come back, because he said had Trout spoken up, he probably wins a championship. I don't agree with that at all. And I think that we're putting a little more on Trout's plate than we probably should. I think Manfred made that mistake a couple of years ago, and I don't think it's fair to him. That's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. Need to give somebody here at 710 big thumbs up. Have you been to the kitchen in the last hour?
I think it was Stephanie.
I found out it was not her. I thought it was two. I asked.
Okay.
So there's a cooler in our kitchen, a big one, right? And I opened it up because that's what I do. I look into coolers to see if people know what they're doing.
And it said like it's for later, but I'm like, I just want to take a peek.
Opened it up. It's filled with ice cold beer and sodas.
Mm-hmm.
It's packed perfectly, Slee. You know I have a bit of a cooler fetish when it comes to the proper amount of ice relative to the proper amount of cans or bottles in the cooler. Nick on the sales side is responsible for doing that. So, Nick, huge thumbs up to you. You have the Travis Rogers seal of cooler approval. It is absolutely a work of art. It is perfect. Good job, Nick.
I would have put ice just on the bottom.
You know what I don't like, Slee? And I really like you, but I believe you when you tell me this.
No, I would not have. No, I would not. If we had family over for Thanksgiving, and I took some of your tips.
Okay, good.
I made it happen.
Good.
I had too much ice.
Good.
Which is exactly how it should be.
Bags of ice off to the side. Like, I got too much. I don't know what to do with it.
Yes, and plus you want that ice, too, because maybe somebody's getting something a little, you know, they want an alcoholic beverage that it's bourbon, this. They want it on the rocks.
Yes. So you take that bag, and you put it in a separate cooler, sealed in the plastic bag, and then you just go in there. And that's not for icing down cans.
Just
scoop
for
making
that.
Drinks. That's good job, Nick. It looks good. I may have to put a picture of that up there. The last caller, Johnny from Orange County, was talking about that, you know, if Trout would have spoken up sooner, that maybe the Angels win a championship, that, you know, that we knew right away that Otani was committed to winning, and Otani was the guy that kind of held the Angels' feet to the fire, going back a couple of seasons saying, hey, look, man, I want to win first and foremost. And that was kind of the opening bid to, I'm not staying here if you guys don't get this thing figured out. Mike Trout really has never threatened the Angels in any way like that, or even been outspoken.
When Otani was outspoken, I think that's when we started criticizing Trout. It's like,
go back a few years ago, the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, was critical of Mike Trout, basically, and I'm paraphrasing
a little bit,
but what he basically said is, our very best player is media reluctant. He doesn't want to be marketed like we can market, and we've offered and he's declined. It would be better if he liked doing that stuff. It would be better if he were comfortable being outspoken. But that he's not, that's okay too. Like, he's just not that guy. He's not the guy that's going to be like, yeah, I don't know what these guys are doing.
Sure.
It's not his lane. This is what makes Ohtani so special. Mike Trout is might be the best player I've ever seen in my life. Griffey and Bonds are pretty damn close, too. But Ohtani is not just a great pitcher. He's not just a great hitter. He very clearly has this leadership quality that not everybody has. He's the guy that's willing to stand up in front of his Japanese team and say, guys, not today. We're not looking at those guys as, all-world guys. We're going to beat him today. He's the guy that says, I'll pitch the ninth inning. I don't know how to come out of the pen. I'll do it tonight. You need a big hit in the ninth inning, I'll do that. He's very comfortable with all eyes in his sport looking at him saying, hey, what do you think about that, and speaking his mind. Not everybody is willing to do that. And I don't think that we should, beat up Mike Trout because he's uncomfortable in that role, because Ohtani isn't. I think it's unfair to Trout.
I think it actually makes Trout look bad because Ohtani's on the same team and he is so vocal.
Yeah.
That maybe it wouldn't have been as much of a conversation. Not every player is the same personality-wise, period. Not every person is the same personality-wise. It's one of the most boring players to watch, and every time you watch them, you knew you weren't going to get all that much from him. Tim Duncan was arguably one of the most boring players in the NBA. But you know what else he was? He was arguably one of the best players in the NBA. Shaq, they'd go up against Shaq, had the best personality in the league. So I get it that they're not the same. But end goal, you want it to be the same. I don't know how much this goes into it.
And maybe he does it privately. We don't know.
You're right. Maybe he does do it privately. But I don't know how much this goes into it as well. And maybe there's something to it. Maybe there's not. For Ohtani, yesterday was a great example of somebody who's representing their entire country.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that literally is the face of that country when it comes to baseball. And I don't know if there's just this added pressure of, my country also wants to see me in the playoffs. My country also wants to see me competing for a World Series. That's all we care about is, am I going to get opportunities in the postseason or not? I don't buy that completely. I think it's just more him. I think he's individually driven, but there might be some little extra there because he's representing Japan.
Let's try another phone call here. Let's go to Steve in Venice. Not that one, the other one. Steve in Venice, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up?
Hey, guys. Great program. So last night, great, great final baseball classic. And I found myself happy for Ohtani, even though I'm a huge Trout fan and Angel fan. Like, I was legitimately happy for the guy when he struck out Trout, and he made Trout look silly. And to your point, if you watch Ohtani in the post-game interviews, the Dodgers could use a character guy. And I don't think we can't afford not to sign him, because if he goes to the Padres, we already passed on Machado, now Soto. If he goes to the Giants or the Yankees and he wins a chip, we're in big trouble. And the fact that we've won one title in 10 years, the Dodgers have underperformed based on the talent and the leadership that we have. So I don't care if it's $70 million, $80 million. We got to sign the guy. I don't see any other choice.
I think that's where a lot of Dodger fans are going to land, Steve. Thank you for the phone call. That's where I land. That's where you land. And I guess there's a number somewhere. You say you can't do that. That's just not going to work. But the Dodgers have, for the last 10 years, for what the players they've had and the games that they've won, you want more, right? You want more than a pandemic-shortened season world title.
Yeah.
You see what he can do. And I love what the other caller said about it's baseball. You can't just have the Angels are a perfect example. They have Ohtani and Trout, and they stink, right? So you can't just have good players. You need a really good team. The Dodgers, Ohtani put a really excellent Japan team over the top. He could do that for the Dodgers. The Dodgers are an excellent team, an excellent organization. That could be the piece that puts you over the top. He's very comfortable being the guy that says, I'll do it. And not that Clayton Kershaw hasn't said that, not that Mookie hasn't said that, but there's a difference between what we've seen with Ohtani and what we've seen with almost everybody else. He's just like, yeah, give me one shot and I'm going to get it done. He did. It's remarkable.
Well, there's also, I think, the piece of it to Ohtani. If you look at how great he's been, look at what he just did in the WBC in front of the entire world. What's left for him? What's left for him is very simple. Be in some meaningful games in October for the best league when it comes to baseball in the world. Right? That's what's left for him.
He could become the Formula One champion. he could go drive for Ferrari and take them back to the top.
Here's the funny thing. On top of that, it's not even just Let's say they didn't. Let's say the Angels didn't make the postseason. Let's say they didn't make the playoffs. I mean, even in some games in September that were meaningful,
yes,
would be something. At least then we're attracted for 6 months. We're watching Ohtani. That what was it after the All-Star break? What do we just say? Okay, well, we're done with Angels baseball.
Bye. See you next year. I really want them to be good this year. I don't know if they will. I think they got a chance. They have a better team than they've had in a while. They have a deeper team than they have in a while. Patrick Sandoval seems to have kind of gone to a level where he's not just pretty good, he's very good. If Tyler Anderson can be the guy that pitched for the Dodgers last year for the Angels, that's a step in the right direction. A couple other guys just bump it up a little bit, and you get what you get from Trout. You get what you get from Ohtani. Rendon is a little bit better along the way. That you just have a more cohesive team to win 85, 88 games doesn't seem like a huge ask for that roster. Now, I could have said that a lot of times, a lot of different ways, but it doesn't feel like them being in the postseason is an impossibility.
Well, I was going to say, I think a lot, at least if there's one thing you can hear, there is at least a little bit of chatter of, hey, no, this Angels team can go from not making the postseason to
potentially making the postseason. I thought they were pretty good last year, and they just absolutely cratered.
Yeah.
They lost 16 in a row or something like that. Somebody has a suggestion for, I said Slee would be played by Stanley Tucci in the Travis and Slee movie. Somebody suggested Beau Bridges for me. That feels
perfect.
He'd have to grow a beard, or I'd have to shave mine, one or the other.
Yeah. I like how you're going to tell him you have to grow a beard.
Well, it's our movie.
Either right? Bridges could be played by Jeff or Bo.
No, the dude is too. He's the dude, right?
Well,
we can't do that. and no disrespect to Bo, who's had a great career.
Yeah.
But Bo, I look more like Bo than I do Jeff Bridges.
I think Jeff Bridges in Stick It, which is one of my favorite movies, I think is more closely to what you are.
What movie is
that? That's the gymnastics movie. They like it's a bunch of girls who play gymnastics. And
when was that movie?
It was like 2007, 6 in that range.
How many times did you see Stick It, Slee?
I've seen that.
I've seen it four times.
Seven.
I've seen it four times. Four times. But I will get to seven.
Trav, come on over to the house tonight. You, me, Rookie, Lady Slee, we're going to watch
Stick It. It's a sleepover movie.
Is he the coach?
He is the coach.
Okay.
He's this hardened, grizzled vet who used to like really care for the girls he coached, but one girl got injured because he pushed her too far, and so therefore he's got blackballed by a bunch of the gymnastics world, and this girl, who's the main character in Stick It, is the one that put him back on the map.
I just didn't want him to interrupt you. That's why I was like, someone's in the zone, feed him the ball. You know, like she was basically hitting 15-footers everywhere.
That, and by the way, this is not a criticism of that movie. That's every sports movie ever. What you described. They got this guy who used to be great. Now he's not so great. He's either sick, his wife's sick, he got an injury, he got old. But now he's here to help the guys that need the help the most. Every sports movie ever. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. Apparently, I'm not the only cooler aficionado in the building, so some super crosstalk coming up in a little bit. We have some questions coming along. Today, we got to start with this. It's the big CY's birthday today, Emily?
Yeah, it is.
Do we know what he's doing to celebrate?
I don't think he's watching Everything Ever All Once Again.
No, certainly not for the seventh time.
Pickleball tournament. He's in another tournament for his birthday.
I do think the lady in his life is visiting, so they're probably going to do something fun together.
That's good. Okay. What's the
happy birthday, CY?
What's your perfect little birthday celebration? I know you like to low key your birthday. You're not Morales, who's taking out a Skyrider. But what is your perfect birthday celebration?
Perfect birthday down in San Diego, with just kind of the close family members. My girl, obviously, as well. And if my mom is cooking rookie's in the house as well. My mom's cooking a home-cooked meal, I'm good, bro. I don't need anything else. That's perfect.
That's a good day.
Get some liquor there, get some wine, something along those lines.
That's a good day. I want to start with a round of golf. I want to, an early morning round of golf, like a 7 o'clock, right? Mm-hmm. Let's get the ball up in the air early, be done by 11:30, 12. Maybe have a nice lunch with my buddies and have a few cocktails and hang out. Go home, grab a nap for an hour, maybe two.
Watch Fernando Mania.
Maybe have it on in the background, no big deal. And then go out with the fam. Go out with the fam, have a nice dinner out.
With Fernando Mania iPad right there.
What kind of food? What restaurant?
Honestly, in that situation, I don't really care.
Doesn't matter. Company is there.
I don't really care.
Feeling good.
Something that is a crowd pleaser for everybody.
It
doesn't have to be my thing. Not especially. I'm more of a pie guy than a cake guy, but I do like cake. Don't get me wrong. If you give me a slice of cake, I'm not going to be
If I had to pick between the two, I'd go pie.
Yeah, me too.
Pie over cake.
Berry, you put candles on pies?
Sure. Sure.
It's a little different, but yeah.
Where are you on cobbler, Slee? That's like a southern thing too, Emily.
Yeah, it is. Peach cobbler.
I'm okay.
It's basically just messy pie. It's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's just not as well constructed.
Right. It's just instead of making a crust on the top, we're just going to throw some brown sugar and oats on the top and let it rip.
Yeah, my grandma makes
pretty good.
I'll eat any of those. I just can't have a ton of it. Like when some people have, like ice cream is the same thing. When people are just like, you know, you go, I don't know how you are this. They'll get like two scoops of this, and it's like it's so much ice cream. I can't do that. I can only do sweet. I can only do a little bit of sweet. I can't do a lot.
I can maybe muscle through two scoops of ice cream. I'm just saying I could probably get it done. Rams lost another player. Their former wide receiver, Brandon Powell, reached an agreement today with the Minnesota Vikings on a one-year deal. He, of course, will be reunited with the former Rams offensive coordinator and current Vikings head coach, Kevin O'Connell. Brandon Powell was a nice little find for them a couple of years ago. They brought him in to kind of return punts and kicks, and he gave him a little spark. And they needed to use him in the receiving game towards the end of last year. Not even towards the end, like for the second half of the season. But this is one of those,
yeah.
I mean, Brandon Powell's not going to sink or swim this team this upcoming season.
Yeah, it wouldn't be in the it wouldn't be in the dump if it was one of those that we that we thought was.
But it's also more people going out, no one coming in. So that's also another thing of like, there's a lot of bleeding out of the Rams.
I want to do something real quick.
It's not that much direction. That's the bigger thing.
There really isn't.
Yeah.
Or direction, like there's not an obvious plan, I guess, is the way that I look at it. But here's the Rams schedule. We don't know the order in which these games will be played, but they're division games. How many times did they beat San Francisco?
Last year?
No, this upcoming season. How many times do you expect them to beat San Francisco?
Zero.
I agree. I think it's zero.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Seattle?
1-1.
Okay, I agree. Arizona?
1-1. They could go 2-0.
Agreed.
We'll go 1-1.
I think it's 1-1. Okay, so there's your division, right? Here's who they play at home. Do they beat Philadelphia? These are all home games. Philadelphia?
Okay. No.
No. Washington?
No.
Okay, I think they'll beat Washington. Okay. I'm going to give them a third one right there. New Orleans?
Yes.
Yes, I agree. Cleveland?
Yes.
I agree. Pittsburgh?
I'll say no just because Pittsburgh is
I agree.
A good organization.
Okay, so we got five wins so far. Now all of these other games coming up are on the road. Dallas?
No.
No. Giants?
Not happening.
No. Green Bay? Keep in mind, it's probably Jordan Love.
I'll still say no.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Baltimore? Probably no. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I say no.
Cincinnati?
No.
No. Indianapolis?
Sure.
Okay.
Good one.
I would fight some of those away games, but yeah.
Good that's one. Six wins.
Yeah.
So of the six wins, they'll probably win four of those. And of the 11 losses we have, they'll probably win two or three, right? That's seven wins again. So this idea that we were talking about, well, hey, maybe they can just kind of back into it. They're going to back into six or seven wins. It's not going to happen. Six is not getting you in. Seven's not getting you in. Eight, maybe.
Yeah.
But you got to get to nine.
Let's put it this way. What would you be more surprised by? That they lose six games or they win six games? Or they lose seven games or win seven games? Like, it doesn't matter. You pick the number. Eight games. I think you're more surprised they go 9-8 than you are they go 8-9. If I just make it the closest possible.
100% agree with that.
Yeah.
Rob Manfred, talking about the WBC, said, quote, "It's great the guys that we have, but I'd like to see pitching staffs that are of the same quality as our position players." It was stark. The quality of position players, when you're looking at Goldschmidt, Arenado, Betts, Turner,
cream
Trout,
of the crop, cream
Real
of the crop.
Muto, Smith. And then in the most important game, you're running out, you know, at Merrill Kelly and some of these other guys. I mean, I'm having trouble recalling Daniel Bedard. Like, they're good pitchers, but these are not the very best that we have.
Is there a reason why it was
stretched out? They're not ready to go in these high leverage situations for the most part. So they're getting paid a lot of money by these other teams, and I understand it. It didn't bother me. It was weird that the gap was so big, and that some of the like Darvish pitches, Ohtani pitches, Alcantara pitch, Urias pitch. Like, I get that they pitch for other places, but it didn't bother me. It didn't take away from the entertainment value of that tournament.
Well, I think Manfred's basically saying right there, trying to win this thing. There's the competitive juices of watching this tournament and knowing that you lost 3-2.
Makes you look bad a little bit.
Well, I think it's just the competitive juices. I think there's a little bit of, I would love to see a couple more big time pitchers to go up. Now, what didn't happen yesterday, they didn't lose 9-8.
No.
right? So it wasn't that their pitching was awful.
They did a good job.
Gave up some solo shots.
They did a good job, and there was never a point in that game where I'm like, man, what are we doing with these guys?
Yeah.
Like, it was tight. And the whole tournament, it was like, it's weird that none of our best guys are there, but you never felt like it was ruining the event. Do you think there are baseball fans today that didn't exist a week ago because of this thing? Or is this just getting guys like me super excited for something I already like to begin with?
No, I know there is. I know there's new baseball fans. I 100% do. I think I mentioned this to you. The Mexico-Japan game, my girl wanted to watch the entire game. Why do you want to watch the entire game? She thought it was interesting. She thought it was fun. I think there are some new fans. And anytime you have a face of something, Shohei will be followed. He's already followed. But Shohei will be followed just a little bit more by people maybe that weren't watching baseball.
This surprises me a little bit, Al. The first round of the NCAA tournament, the men's NCAA tournament, averaged a record 9.2 million viewers. That's the most in tournament history. That the tournament had a record number of viewers is incredibly surprising to me. Because, like we've talked about,
somebody cares about it.
No, clearly. That's what I mean. I understand that it's being watched, but as someone that lives and breathes the sports universe, yep, I've never cared less. It's just weird that it's out there for people more than ever before.
I think it's sports betting more than anything.
Betting,
because,
you said?
Yeah, the sports betting with the emergence of legal sports betting in so many states, I think it's drawing so many more people
to
it.
To be honest with you, that's the only answer I could think of, because this wasn't a tournament where you're saying, hey, I'm going to follow that dude. There's that player that's in it. It's Zion. It's this.
Not even the same coaches. Like, a lot of them retired.
There wasn't that. So it has to be the sports betting. That's the only element that I could think of it. That sounds like a good narrative.
It was today in 1989 that Pete Rozelle retired as commissioner of the NFL. That cleared the decks for Paul Tagliabue, who ultimately got us to Roger Goodell, which is where we are right now. The NFL has had pretty solid leadership. And by solid, I mean they don't turn it over all the time. What makes a good commissioner? Like, let me ask it two ways.
Yeah.
As a fan, what makes a good commissioner? Because as an owner, I think the only thing you care about is get me better TV deals,
yep,
and get expansion teams and get me my relocation fees. That's really all you care
about,
right?
I would have thought owners want a popular commissioner. I would have thought owners would look at a commissioner
this
and say—
This well-liked, you mean?
Well-liked, as in accomplish everything we need you to accomplish for us. But also, when you're at the podium and you're introducing the number one draft, that everyone's not booing you. Right? Like,
is that not part of the fun of it, though?
But I would have thought that they would, in a perfect world, want both. I am now almost 100% that the NFL is like, yeah, we don't care. That's fine. Yeah, you
clearly
can hate.
They don't.
Hate Goodell. That's fine.
They pay him $50 million
a year.
Hate
him all day long. I would say, actually, the closest is Adam Silver. That's the closest, where you have somebody that you feel like sympathizes with the players, but is also profiting like crazy for the owners.
He's the only one that isn't wildly unpopular. Rob Manfred, unpopular. Yep. Gary Bettman, unpopular. Roger Goodell, unpopular.
Yeah.
Head of the NCAA, whoever that is now, was Mark Emmert. Super unpopular. Like, Silver, and even David Stern was so...
David Stern was definitely unpopular.
Well, unpopular, but people loved looking at him, listening to him, because he was hilarious. David Stern was like, he was kind of vindictive. He was kind of mean. He would throw shade at people. He was fun, even if he wasn't well-liked.
Yeah, John, we were talking about what makes a good commissioner. What would be your definition of a good commissioner?
That's a great question. I think Adam Silver, you guys are right, is the best of the four. But it's impossible job to be well. I'm like, I'm trying to think of if we were going to have like who's the GOAT of commissioners. It wouldn't be Tagliabue. It wouldn't be Pete Rozelle.
Current ones right now?
No, ever.
David Stern.
Except that people, like, I know a lot. And David Stern was great. He would come on when you call him. But David Stern was an a-hole.
I know.
And he would be the first person to admit it.
But David Stern.
So maybe that's the answer, Slee, that you need a little a-hole in you.
And David Stern took the league from a time when it was fledgling to turning it into the second most popular league in our country and making all the money along the way. The NBA was barely solvent when he got into it, and now it's the NBA.
Mason and I used to be pretty good friends with Tim Leiwicki, who ran AEG.
Great guy.
And I was up visiting Leiwicki once, and he goes, Because you want to hear me get chewed out? He goes, what? And he goes, listen to this. And he goes, hi, David. And David Stern, I don't know what was Tim had said or done something. And David just MF'd him till the end of time. And he goes, got it. How's everything? And Stern then immediately, it's great, Tim. How are you doing? But he was like, I don't know if you guys saw that story that Gilbert Arenas put out about a month ago. You remember when Gilbert Arenas brought the gun to the locker room?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It came up because of the John Morant stuff.
Sure.
Arenas said, David Stern calls him to his office and he says, you're suspended for 50 games. And he goes, well, I'm going to appeal that, 50 games. And he says, if you appeal it, I'm coming after your contract.
Wow.
And Arenas, what do you mean? He goes, it's my league. I run it. It's a business. You brought a gun into my business. You're lucky I'm not giving you 100 games. If you fight this, I'm coming after your contract. And Stern walked out.
And he took 50 games.
Yep.
Took 50 games.
Smart decision.
Yeah, it is.
not really a hard decision when you think about
that. That game, Blu-ray, no good comes from it.
I've played it.
Have you played
it? Stopped
Never
playing
played
it immediately.
Oh, is that the card game?
Yeah,
card
you
game.
Know what it is? It's AC Deucey.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it's basically you put two cards down. If you get a three and a king, you bet the whole pot.
Unless
and then if a two comes up, you're dead.
Or a three and a king, you pay
guys
double.
Double.
Guys right.
That's
double.
That's what happened to Arenas and Javaris Crittenden. Somebody got hit with paying double and said, I'm not paying.
Yeah.
Guns came out.
My God.
Damn.
I just play a little online.
All right. I know we got to go to the Super Stager, but here's one more story about that. Rudy Tomjanovich, who is a great guy. He was so worried about getting involved with those players games up in the front that he would come in the back and play with us. Okay. Rudy coached us for 1 year, not even a full season.
Right.
He bailed at the All-Star break. And he'd come back, and he literally, Rudy was making $5 million a year. And our game is a $1, $2, or $3 limit.
Okay.
And I would say $3. And Rudy'd look at his hand and you'd see if he's debating whether or not to stay in. And he'd look at me and he'd go, not worth three.
$3.
And he puts it down.
$3.
And the other
I'm
story
out.
He told me was he's coaching the Pan Am team. And you guys remember Sharif Abdur?
Yeah.
Sharif?
Yeah. Yep.
They're
Risley's.
Playing Bure.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in Puerto Rico. And he loses the whole pot. And he loses $13,000. Oh, yeah. And the rest of the guys on the team, they finish the tournament, they fly back, they land in Houston, and they made the bus driver go to a bank. So that they didn't even go back to the thing. So Sharif Abdurrahim would take out the money and pay the guys he owed.
No.
Get in that game.
I'm out.
Come on, big Bure tournament. Let's do it.
I'll play with Rudy.
Did you watch the video, both of you guys? All right,
I'm
go
watching,
to the Super Stager.
I'm matching it right now. Let's do a little Super crosstalk. So, John, you've mentioned this before, that you and I have a lot of similarities.
Yes, but I did not know about this one until I heard you talking about it today when you were talking about the cooler.
Did
now, retell the cooler story.
So, there's a cooler in our kitchen here.
We're having a party tonight here.
Yeah. There's a little station get-together tonight, and the cooler has been there since when I got here about 7:45, and it was there shortly thereafter. And, you know, like anybody else, you see a cooler, something, open it up, see what's in it. I open it up, and it's perfect.
Right.
It is packed with sodas and beers,
mm-hmm.
and there's not an inch to spare that's not filled with ice.
Yep.
Nice.
It's just from the very bottom to the top. It's the cans are all stacked very neatly, one on top of the other.
There's nothing like
it. Proper layers.
Yeah. Perfect cooler setup, which I deeply appreciate.
All right. So when I heard you say that, I popped in during the last break and I said, I sent it to Emily and to Taylor as well. I'm going to send you guys a video that I discovered yesterday. There's I don't know if it's a beach or a picnic ground or whatever, but there's a family with a cooler, a big cooler, and it's packed.
I'm guessing Florida.
Residents looked Florida-ish.
Yeah, I thought it might be like Australia, but Florida's better.
Yeah.
Picture Florida. So the cooler is sitting there on the sand, and a crocodile appears and puts the cooler in its mouth and walks off with the cooler.
Into the water.
Yes. Yeah, so the question is, Trav, you and I are on the beach. We're throwing a frisbee. We look over, and we see the crocodile with our cooler in its mouth just casually going back to the water. Do we go after the cooler, or do we just let him go?
I'm going to make an attempt to get him to drop the cooler.
I am too.
With my own bare hands.
Like, what are you going to do?
I'm going to throw
something at him. I'm going to throw sand at it. I'm going to throw rocks at it. I'm going to try to
Me
make
too.
It just say it's not worth it. This person.
And if he drops the cooler and charges us, we just haul take ass off, the other
right?
way.
Yeah,
are alligators or crocodiles fast?
Gators. So, these are gators, right?
I don't know why I know this, but I
crocodiles are like in Africa.
Well,
and stuff.
The story says it's a crocodile, but it very well could be.
It
an
could
alligator.
Have been a safari. It looked like some kind of safari.
Oh, it could have been.
So
Africa,
it could have
yeah.
been. Yeah, it could have been in like Australia.
So
or
one of my great fears is being consumed by an animal.
Mm.
Okay, so I know all the tactics to get away from the apex predators.
Yes.
One of the things you do when an alligator, if you're on land and an alligator charges
play dead. You
no,
play dead.
That's a bear.
Oh, okay.
Bear, you play dead. Alligator.
I'm with you on
the
that.
The fact that you have this bank of knowledge astounds me, but go ahead.
Make yourself really big. Hold your arms up.
That's you do the Karate
lion.
Kid thing?
That's mountain lion.
That's mountain lion.
Okay.
Okay. Mountain
get
lion.
Pots together. Make noise.
Mountain lion is get big, throw rocks, make yep. noise, make it seem like, it's a lot of trouble. I don't want to mess
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Bears play dead.
Right.
Alligator is when you run, you have to zigzag because alligators don't turn.
Oh.
They're pretty fast in a straight line,
yeah.
but alligators don't have great handling.
Yeah,
right? So you
right.
want to run side to side to get away from an alligator. So that's what you would want to do.
So don't play dead.
Don't ask me why. Don't
play Emily, dead. Emily, do you go after the cooler? The crocodile or the alligator, whatever it is, get your cooler. It's walking off. You're 25 feet away. Do you go after the cooler?
So it depends on the cooler. So the one in the video, it looks like a cheapo cooler, which is, I'm right. fine with that. That's looking like a little
what's
igloo.
An expensive cooler?
Like a Yeti.
REI.
Like
go get $500. One of those Coleman's, the Yetis.
Yeti cooler could be $500.
Yeah, so if it's that yeah. guy, I might, again, do a Travis, try to distract it, and then go after it eventually. It's funny because I go to a vacation in Hilton Head a lot, which is like has a lot of crocodiles and stuff. Ooh. There's stories every year of them like taking soccer balls, taking little dogs and
right,
all that
right.
stuff. So
Scratch
I think
Hilton
that I would.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's a lot. But I think I would go after the cooler.
Taylor, go after it or let go?
I'm just going to let it go. You know, you can't replace limbs. Possessions are a lot easier than limbs.
Yeah.
You can buy another 12-pack of Coors Light.
I don't know. When I was growing up, we didn't have a fancy cooler. We had one of them styrofoam things.
You know,
the styrofoam
store.
Cooler that you get at the grocery store?
You know, try and find one of those at a grocery
store. Oh, they don't exist
there anymore?
I had to go to 4 stores to get one. I was playing poker at somebody's house a couple months ago. I said, I'm going to bring a cooler of beer, and I couldn't find a
liquor
a
store.
Cheapos, oh, that's where you get them?
Liquor store? Yeah.
Liquor store has them. The grocery store, sometimes they have them up top.
Up high.
Yeah, they have them up top, so sometimes you don't see them. But
I'm not chasing.
Slay,
I'm not
are you going after the cooler?
No, it's gone.
I honestly can't even believe this is a debate. I mean, is anybody really going after
I am.
You're not going to throw something at the gator to see if it'll just drop
football?
It and go back in the water?
Throw a football at
if
his
I
head?
A then you lose the football.
Yeah, but I don't care about the football. I care about the cooler.
Yeah.
If it's a $500 cooler stocked with, like, really good stuff.
Yeah, I've never been emotionally attached to a cooler. Okay. It's just a cooler.
How many coolers do you have?
Oh, gosh.
Exactly.
Probably 6.
Yeah.
Not a 1.
Let me paint this scenario for
none?
You guys.
None. I don't have a cooler.
I'm going to switch
don't need
it.
None? None. No cooler.
Well, and if you need one, you can just go get one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a good one is not just go pick it up. You got to get the right one. You need the Arctic or the Yeti or
hang on
something
a second.
Like
Everything Everywhere All at Once wants to make a comment.
I'm just saying. So this is a situation here. And if you go after the cooler. So my dad and my mom were dating, and he intended to propose with a ring inside of a cooler.
Okay.
So he's like, oh, go get me the beer. And she pulls it out. There's the ring. So in that scenario,
then you
go
after the cooler. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, that's a very romantic way to do it.
But is it?
Like, no,
go
it's
get
not.
Me a beer
just,
out of the cooler.
I was trying to be nice. Go get me a beer.
I know. It's their love story. It's not mine. But
hey, honey, get
thing.
Me a beer. Oh.
So you have some people over to watch the game. Where are you putting the beers?
In the fridge.
That's not cold enough.
It is fine. It's fine.
Well, Mace, when
you
Mace
when
he
you
threw
have
his
your
party,
big parties, where do you keep the cold drinks?
You hired people.
I don't know. The people, the bartenders,
they
brought
it
to it. Yeah, the caterers
right.
and the bartenders. Yeah.
Okay.
Not worried about that.
So you have multiple sizes. There's some with wheels, some without,
yeah.
some with handles.
Oh, my
some
God.
Yeah. You have the backpack one?
Yeah, that's the Laker freebie at the Laker
sure.
golf tournament. Yeah, got that one.
Yeah, those are all
just a lot of cool.
Different worlds for me. I don't know the cooler world.
I think
world.
You got to have the. Are you a beer person?
I'm not a beer person. That's part of it. Yeah. Unless they ask me to endorse a beer, and then I'm a beer person. Right. If Coors comes to me and says we want Mason, I'm like, I love Coors, man. Bring it on.
Did you guys get as into the WBC as I did?
Oh God, it was so
we're
exciting.
We're texting.
It's amazing.
All right,
so exciting.
Here's something
terrific.
That I haven't heard anybody bring up today. It would appear to me. All right. So it's basically a one game playoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ninth inning starts, and who is it? McNeil?
Jeff McNeil
gets a walk, gets on first base.
Mookie comes.
At that point,
double play.
And no, at that At that point, you have to stay out of the double play at all costs. Anything.
Yeah.
Send the runner. Do anything. Because, think about it.
Yeah.
You would have a runner in scoring position for Mike Trout.
Yeah. What it might do, though, is take the bat out of Trout's hands. But I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
I don't think they would have done that. I you think Shohei Ohtani would have
maybe not
put Trout on a
maybe not, but what it
be
also
the most disappointing moment
and
in
it
history.
Would put the winning run on base, so you might not do it.
Right.
But I said to Susan, we're watching the game. I'm like, are they going to ask Mookie to bunt? Because look, Mookie's one of the five best hitters in baseball.
Yeah.
Probably hasn't had to lay down a sacrifice bunt in years.
You don't anticipate a double play for Mookie Betts.
They brought in the fastest guy on the team.
Yep.
To pinch run.
Mm-hmm.
You at least have to try and steal.
I thought
don't
the same
you?
Thing. Yeah, I wouldn't mind
a right-handed steal. Pitcher.
And Ohtani's not particularly quick to the plate. You can run against him.
You can't
a bit.
Do what they did.
He you're threw not wrong. You're not, such a good pitch. Though.
I was going to say you're not wrong on any of that. Pitch. But Trav, Mookie hit. How many times is Mookie going to hit into a double play
Very
in that
rarely.
Situation? Like you're also taking your chance, saying this is one of the best hitters in baseball. I got
the
Trout
flip
coming
of it,
up next.
And John, I think I would have bunted, but the flip of it is I'm going to give Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Paul Goldschmidt a chance to split a gap.
Yeah,
as opposed to giving away an out, and now I got two guys with a chance. To
okay,
split
but
a gap.
Let's say I
or get a base hit.
Okay, so let's say I agree with you. My counter would be okay. Let's send Witt.
Steal him?
Yeah, and that way we keep him out of the double play. Mm-hmm. The only way it's a double play then is if Mookie gets a line drive and we double him up, but that hardly ever
happens.
That's
bad luck.
Yeah, I would have sent Witt. You have to stay out of the double play there.
Yeah, it was they manage these games so weird.
Well, that guy had Mark DeRosa had never managed before.
No, but I don't think it was inexperience that made it was the format is kind of weird. The pitching thing is kind of weird. Where hey, if we tell you you're going to throw 30 pitches, you're going to throw 30 pitches whether you strike out five guys.
It's Daniel Bard needs a full inning of work, and he's throwing BP. Mm-hmm.
It was a weird deal, but what. I don't know if there's another scenario where Team USA strikes out to lose the game in the championship, and you're like, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And that's what it was, at least for Al and I.
Oh, like, my God.
Watching Ohtani do that thing, there was no, oh, we blew it. That was awesome baseball.
Yeah, that was the game. That's what people are paying to see. And, you know, I tell you, I walked away from it thinking, damn, I'm ready for baseball season. Mm. Like, it really got me ramped up for baseball.
The crazy thing is, you're not going to get a game with that sort of energy for 6 months.
Till October, yeah.
That's true.
You're not going to get that level of, should they bunt him? Do you move him? Do you do that? Like, all of those little decisions that happen in the playoffs that are magnified times 1,000, when they're playing the Reds in August, it's not quite the same thing.
The same thing. You're right.
It's playing the Reds thing. Ever. It's like really not the same thing.
But you couldn't have scripted it. I mean, we were talking about it. If you said, hey, pick the way you end this WBC tournament. I mean, Ohtani versus Trout. Oh, come on.
Yeah. That's like storybook
stuff. Is there a number where if you're the Dodgers and you're in the Ohtani game, and obviously they're going to be in it, where you just, I can't do that.
No.
I can't go to that number.
Now, especially not after you cut and cut and cut this year. I think you
– $50 million a year?
You have made, I think it's $50 million a year.
Oh, I think you're low at
50. 55?
At least.
60? I think 10 years, 500.
So Spotrac put it out. The numbers are they have him valued as a pitcher, 8 years, 230.
Okay.
As a hitter, 10 years, 333. So you just kind of round it off. That's 10 years, 550 million.
Yeah, you need 500.
That sounds about right.
500 million plus is what it's going to take.
Mace, don't you agree if it's not the Dodgers, someone's giving him that money?
Somebody's going to
give him that money.
Steve Cohen's going to do it.
What if Cohen or Seidler come in and say, okay, look, the market is at 55. I'm going to give you 62. And do you want the Dodgers to go to 62 to get into
Here's the weird thing about Cohen, and this is going to be a real test. So he is in they've invented a new tier of luxury tax.
Right.
He is in a 100% luxury tax situation. So if
dollar
he signs
dollar.
Shohei Ohtani for 50, it costs him $100, $100 million a year.
But doesn't he have like $10 billion?
Yeah, he obviously doesn't care. But I mean, it's crazy. Those
Seidler
are crazy
doesn't
numbers.
Care. Seidler's signing everybody.
Yeah, he is.
Hmm.
I mean, there is a point where it's a bad deal. I just don't know where the
number
is.
It is going to be a race. It is going to be a race.
Super Crosstalk is powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.